For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. I'm your host, Horace, and we are taking on a playoff Tuesday. So we get three games, a bunch of game twos, to be able to continue on some pretty exciting series so far and see if some of these road teams can go ahead and make a comeback coming into this. So I've got my guy Kenny as we jump right into the games here, but Kenny, you know, first couple of days of the playoffs going so far, obviously rotations change around and it becomes a little bit more tight and perhaps a lot less margin for error. But how are things going on your end so far, and how are you approaching these playoffs?
Oh, man, you know, I'm loving the playoffs right now, especially since, you know, Clippers started off with a win and, you know, we was the higher seed but the underdog in the same matchup. Don't happen too often, but that was good to see. And, you know, we got Euro League playoffs starting tomorrow. Play-in was last week. We got a couple good games tomorrow. I'm just happy right now. I'm just happy right now.
Yeah, I mean, quality, meaningful basketball is really all what April's about. And I'm excited as well as far as the playoff matchups have gone so far. Obviously, some of the series have been kind of plagued by injuries and other stuff that's made it a little bit of a dud. But the three games that are happening over here are definitely anything but. Obviously, we're hoping for Kawhi to have more positive news coming into this game. But hey, from all it looks like, Clippers may just have enough to do it regardless. And I'm totally on board with that, with James Harden being on one side. But let's get right into it. And just before we do, again, for those who haven't been following us all year, one, you're crazy. I don't know why you haven't. But two, you got to make sure that you get yourself onto that Sports Ethos DFS pass so you can have all of that insight to keep you on the top of all of the differences, all that live injuries, all of that rotational goodness that the DFS pros at Sports Ethos will give you. So not only do you get access to all the amazing content, including our DFS deliveries, our pick'ems, but also access to our Discord to be able to ask pros all the way up until lineup lock. Really what's going to make all the difference when we get into that low margin for error. But let's get right into it here. And I know with the three games, I mean, usually we've done it by position here. So do you want to talk about it from a game perspective, or do you just want to jump right into positions over here, Kenny?
You know, let's keep it classic, man. Let's go by positions, man.
Let's go by positions. All right. I like it. Well, jumping right into the point guard slot over here. And really, I'm starting up at the top at that 8,000 mark over here with sticking with James Harden at this point. I was all in on him on that first matchup there. Definitely had an excellent game one. And a lot of what I kind of assumed would be is, you know, the narrative kind of coming into this with how undersized Dallas is and how reliant they are on two scorers, that James Harden and Zubats combo worked incredibly well. Obviously, Harden himself got off to a very strong start offensively and ended up with 28 points onto a 49 DK point night. But that 8,200 price tag, given the fact that, I mean, the fact that they won that first game over there, they probably should feel pretty confident coming into this one as well. Kawhi still coming in questionable on this one, so keeping an eye out on that. But I'm always happy to take Harden anytime he's under 9,000 over there, just with the upside he offers with his very varied stat line over there. And I expect that he'll be able to continue some of that dominance in a series where he is going to have offensive advantages against really any defensive matchup they throw up against him. At the same time, kind of sticking up on the other end, what we did get was a pretty big dud from Haliburton in that first game going up against Milwaukee. And obviously Lillard was the star of that show and very much the story with his, what was it, 32 or 30, 35 first half points. It was just a crazy, crazy game that he ended up having overall, and then just really tapered off for the end of the game over there. But it was just too much damage done early on. But I do expect that Haliburton is going to be one to have that comeback over here. And I expect that people might be a little kind of wary of taking him, given that he has been a little off and on up over here. But if you're looking to do that spend up and not necessarily looking to go all the way up to someone like a Doncic, who I am kind of avoiding over here, and I feel like everyone is going to be on Lillard after what he did in that first game, I think it's a bit contrarian and might be worth taking that Haliburton pick. Going all the way down into the kind of value area over here, and I'm really going to kind of throw two out there because technically Westbrook at 5,300 is kind of sitting in that mid-tier area, but I do think he remains a good value play as long as Kawhi is going to be out and just giving you that usage off the bench. But I do think it's going to be Terrence Mann at that 4,100 where I'm really going to be focusing my efforts as far as kind of value picks are concerned. Obviously played a boatload of minutes in that first game. Didn't necessarily take a lot of shots, but was efficient on the ones that he did end up taking. But it was more so the amount of kind of defensive responsibility that was placed on him, so that even if he's not necessarily putting up kind of big popcorn numbers that are over there, he is likely going to find himself in those high 30 minutes scenarios as he did in the last game. Obviously, PJ Tucker is pretty much a DNP unless required, kind of thrown in an emergency. So Terrence Mann is getting all of the love and all of the rub, and he's able to get a good amount of supporting stats. We saw 9 rebounds in the last one. So if he can get to double-digit scoring, he very well could get into that high 20s, low 30s once again in DK points.
That's a pretty solid pickups. Let's see. I'm gonna go a little bit different, man. I'm just gonna spin it all at this position, man. I'm actually gonna go with Luka. Typically, you know, I don't really like paying up for Luka, but you know, we got him at a discount today, man, at 11.9. Been a while since he wasn't at 12, but I feel like a lot of people will be off him, so you probably won't see more than 25% on him with the price tag and the production on Sunday. But I really do think we're going to see some more pick and rolls with Luka in this Nets Clipper game. I'm still hoping for a Clipper win, but I do feel like there's going to be some more pick and roll with Luka, so you should be able to get yourself about 10 to 12 assists. So if Luka assist prop come in at 9.5, that's something I'll be playing over in as well. But when it comes to his DK line, it should be around 70, 75 DK points if the game stay competitive. Going mid tier, I was thinking of, you know, doing a Russell for my cash games, but I'm gonna keep a GPP. Conley had a horrible shooting night against Phoenix. I want to say he was like 1 for 11 or something like that. It was historically bad, but I do feel like a lot of people will be off him. And on a 3-game slate, you got to find some upside and also some lesser ownership players. And with Conley, you're going to be guaranteed to get over 30 minutes out of him. And his shots should be able to connect more than one time this upcoming game. So when it comes to DK points, you're probably looking at a safe floor of around like 25, but upside should be around 40. Then going for my cheapy play, I'm going back to my Clipper game, man. I'm actually going to run Dante Exum at 3-3. Look, if you're spending up for Luka, you got to find ways to save. And you also got to gamble on the few players' minutes. And with Exum, typically when they play decently, he's somehow, some way find himself in the rotation. And he does, a little bit of everything to stay on the floor. So if you're able to get yourself 20 minutes out of him, you should be able to get yourself close to 18 to 22 DK.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today. And view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Points.
Yeah, I like it. I think that's, as you said, a bit kind of outside of where a lot of people may be going, and I can't ever fault anyone for taking Luka, and we're going to have to kind of run it back with a little bit more kind of value, then maybe Exum can hopefully get a little more minutes, because they definitely need as much offensive support as they can get. Jumping into the shooting guard side of things over here, you know, the reason why I didn't go all in on Luka is because I do want to give myself the opportunity of kind of being able to get a lineup in which I can go ahead and sneak Anthony Edwards in. It really just comes down to, with Karl-Anthony Towns still kind of recovering from his injury, his minutes aren't really going to be into that mid to high 30s, hopefully, you know, late, sooner rather than later, but likely going to be at least a couple more games before he really gets his full minutes load in. Now, he looked great in that time that was there, but it's clear that Anthony Edwards is going to be the leading offensive option for this Timberwolves team that's obviously playing some incredible basketball at the moment. He was probably the star of that first night for them, ended up with 14 of 24 on the field en route to 56 DK points, and he's still sitting at sub 9,000. He's actually gone down by 100 from the last game over there, which is kind of surprising to me. I expected that he would jump into the mid 9,000s over here. So happy to take him for that 8,900. And then I'll run it back with the value side of things, which I'll just go all the way down to Nikhil Alexander-Walker, who, you know, he's obviously taken not only the six-man role that's been kind of thrust upon him, but also he's taken away minutes from guys like Kyle Anderson, who you may have otherwise expected to play a little bit more as kind of the playoffs run in here. But they've obviously got a lot of trust in what he's doing at this point now, and obviously, you know, repaid that with an excellent shooting night in that first game, where he ended up with four threes and 18 real points, and en route to being able to put up 35 DK points. So even if he's not necessarily going off to that same level over there, 4,000 is just a very solid price to be able to go ahead and get that and kind of take advantage of some of that GPP upside that he does offer. And then at the same time, you know, you're talking about Dante Exum as being a potential opportunity. I do think that the Dallas Mavericks are going to need a lot more coming from Tim Hardaway Jr. if they are going to be really competitive from that guard scoring and just scoring perspective in general. It's definitely a GPP almost dart throw at this point, because his minutes have gotten here and there, and you really just need him to start hot. But if he can even get 25 minutes and get to a hot shooting start, we know that he's able to go ahead and put up points in bunches. So definitely GPP only, but not someone that I would run away from at 4,600 and having probably pretty low ownership given what he's been doing as of late. I think it's worth taking the gamble with him.
Yeah, pretty solid picks. Since, you know, I'm thinking of going into that little Minnesota game as well. You know, Edwards is a good pick, but I feel like after that third quarter, a whole lot of people will be flooding Edwards in. And I feel like if people are going to run Edwards, they're not going to run the other two guard on the opposite team, D. Booker. I don't even really know what to call what he was doing the other day, but man, I think it was what, three field goals made that whole entire game. But if Allen is supposed to be out, 3-point shooting will need to come from somewhere. And while KD, you know, make his moves, gonna keep his game the same, I feel like the uptick in threes will have to come from either Booker or Bill. And if I'm planning to win, the uptick should actually come from Booker. Because if Booker could get it going, he can get you 40 actual points in this matchup for 8-4. And I do feel like this will be under 20% ownership as well. So this is something you can play both in a GPP and in a cash game. And going for my cheapy play, it's going to be in the same matchup. If Allen is out, I'm going to have interest in Gordon at 3-5. Again, didn't have the greatest night against the Minnesota defense on Sunday, but if he's able to get a few shot ups, get him going, knock him down, he's going to be able to get you upside of 20, 25 DK points for that 3-5 price tag. And going to mid tier, I'm going to go back to the NBA TV game, this Indiana Milwaukee, and I'm going to run Malik Beasley. I typically don't like running 3-point shooters against Indiana, but in a small slate like this, you need to find ways where you can save a little bit and have an upside of 15 actual points. In this spot, I feel like Malik Beasley should be able to get about 10 field goal attempts, should be able to connect on a good amount of shots. And due to the matchup, he might be able to get you maybe 5 rebounds plus assists.
Yeah, some really, really good picks over there. I think that that Gordon one is definitely going to be something that I had a bit of an eye on as well, especially given you know, Grayson Allen had his ankle as well, and we don't know what his availability is going to look like coming into this game as well. So you could see Eric Gordon get a lot more kind of usage going into the game over here. But jumping right into the small forward side of things, and again, I feel like I get to start with one mid-tier guy because I just am able to get that one value to go alongside it and make it fit. And that's going to be a Pascal Siakam on here. As much as I said, I talked about Haliburton as being a good contrarian pick on there. But if I'm not you know, going right into that and it's kind of sticking with my Harden ideal over there, I'm definitely going to keep that salary open to be able to get Pascal Siakam in here as a small forward. Now, everyone obviously talked about what Lillard did in that first game, but it was really Siakam who was just absolutely on fire for the entirety of the game and just didn't really get the support that was coming through here. And obviously as a Raptor fan, I was very happy to be able to see that and, you know, always love how Siakam plays his game. But the reality is he is going to have so many advantages in that kind of mid-range area. There's really no one with his size that's able to get there. He can shoot over them consistently. And he did that throughout that second and third quarter where he, I believe he had like 8 mid-range shots in a row where he just went ahead and hit, which is pretty nuts. So it really just comes down to what kind of adjustments Milwaukee will try to make to be able to get that. But as long as you know, Giannis remains out over here, it's going to be a struggle to be able to go ahead and find kind of the right kind of defensive matchup to put on him, and he should continue to feast. So I expect that this price tag is going to find itself kind of getting higher into the 8,000s, but until it's sitting in that kind of 7,800 range, I am absolutely all over that as it stands. On the other hand, I do think that from that Phoenix and Minnesota game going back, this might be, you know, a little bit more of a cash play, but I think that he's going to start to get a little bit more usage as he gets more minutes, given the fact that they're going to need as much defensive presence as they can. And that's going to be Royce O'Neal, sitting at 4,000 on this matchup over here, played 26 minutes in the last game, ended up with 14 real points, got 10 shots, 8 of which were 3-point attempts over there. And he shot relatively well on there. And he was probably one of the few guys that was kind of able to be a little bit of a deterrent on what was a bit of a kind of rundown as far as Minnesota was doing otherwise. So if they're going to try and kind of load up on Anthony Edwards, kind of force him to get the ball away, maybe get someone like, as you said, a Mike Conley, be a little bit more involved as far as offense is concerned, they're going to need Royce O'Neal to kind of be that that defensive anchor that they really need him to be. So at 4,000, I'm willing to take that that shot on him. And that same kind of GPP run, again, assuming that Kawhi is out, I do think Norman Powell is going to be kind of an important piece in general for what they're doing. But more so than that, I expect that he'll get a lot more shots than he did in that first game over there, where, you know, he had a bit of foul trouble, didn't really get a longer rhythm in the game, even though he did end up with 30 minutes on there. It was kind of stop start, 4 fouls in that time as well, only ended up with 6 field goal attempts in that time. So with that in mind, I do think that we're going to see a little bit more coming from him, and at 4700 gives you more than enough upside to be able to get into that 30 DK point mark when he gets a shot going.
It's a pretty solid pick, and I definitely like that Norman Powell pick, but I'm going to actually spend up a little high in this Clipper game at the small forward position. And for 8-1, I got to go with PG. Even if Quies plays, I'm still going to be running him. He had a mediocre performance in his first game of the playoffs, but I think playoff P will return in this game, and he should be the highest. Oh, wow. Denver just went off a buzzer beater. Man. Yeah. He should be the highest fantasy point player on the Clippers side in this matchup. If you see his rebound and assist prop at around 9.5, 10.5, definitely go over, because for some odd reason, he just couldn't get any assists in this blowout. Well, almost a blowout win. And his three-pointers worked just connected. I think he only finished with 4-for-12 shooting. Going with a mid-tier pick, I do feel like Norman Powell will be a great cash game pick, especially since he should be able to have that 30 minutes. But I'm going to go a little bit cheaper and go back to this Phoenix-Minnesota game. And I'm actually going to go somebody I don't pick up too often, and that's Jaden McDaniels for 4-1. Just like the Norman Powell scenario, he will be able to have over 30 minutes in this game. What he does on the floor, you really don't know. But if he's able to get you a couple of blocks and steals and connect on the few shot opportunities that he gets, he should be able to get you 25, 30 DK points in this spot for 4-1 on a three-game spot. So this is something you can play in both your cash and GPPs, however you like. And going for my real cheapy GPP-only play, I'm going back to this Dallas Clippers game, and it's going to be Josh Green. He didn't get too many minutes in the game on Sunday, but when he was on the floor, he actually was somewhat impactful. He didn't take a field goal attempt, but he still scored 4 points. Had 3 blocks and steals, and had a rebound and assist there as well. I really do feel like he will get at least 18 to 22 minutes in this matchup. So if you feel like Etsum is it really your piece to go with, Green probably should be your cheapy dart though to go with on this Maverick side.
All right, I like it. And I'm glad I was muted on the time when you were kind of going through that part, because I think my feed might have been a bit ahead of yours, because that was an insane shot by Jamal to go ahead and finish that game. But yeah, jumping right into the power forwards over here with a couple of options. And I do like the Josh Green pick that you went ahead on there. So as I said, I think you're going to get a little bit of adjustment coming from Dallas in terms of finding more guys to get open. You know, Luka could very well be more of a playmaker on here and get some of that going. But from a power forward perspective, I do think PJ Washington is going to have to continue to be that that important kind of tertiary scoring piece for them to be kind of almost a little bit throw off Zubats from his game, because we saw what he was doing on the inside, and I'll talk about Zubats a little bit later. But to have someone that can actually drag him out consistently and make him kind of more of a perimeter defender rather than being able to just go ahead and patrol the paint over there, PJ is going to have to be a lot more dominant on the offensive end than he has been kind of over the last little bit here. It's been very much kind of a hot and cold shooter here. He's getting his three-point attempts, and he's playing enough minutes to be able to go ahead and make that impact, but he hasn't really gotten to that level that we'd be expecting for someone to be as that third option on a playoff team at this point. So I expect that his field goal attempts probably get closer to 13-14 as we kind of get closer and further on into the series over here. But I expect that he's going to be needed to get to that kind of 15-10 mark to really make it an impactful performance for him. So for him to be sitting in that 5,500 mark, it's very much where I'm kind of starting with that mid-tier pick over there. And that's because I'm still trying to save some money, so that if I can get that that money saved up to be able to try and get a Durant involved in here, because I could very well see myself kind of convincing and going with Karl Anthony Towns at that 7,300 price tag, even with his lower minutes total likely with everything else that's ongoing. But he's just so incredibly dominant in that matchup that it's going to be a good opportunity for him to kind of continue doing even what he did last game and being in more of a cash scenario for sure. But GPP upside, that's there. But it's clear that Durant is the guy who's going to have to go ahead and take all these shots for this Phoenix team. Booker was struggling massively in that first game. We'll see what he ends up doing as far as the second game is concerned here. But this is just not a very good matchup for him from a defensive standpoint. Minnesota definitely has the pieces that are pretty much built down to be able to keep Devin Booker contained. So it's going to have to be the height and the capability and everything else that comes with Kevin Durant that's going to try and keep the Phoenix Suns alive in this series there. So at 8,500, I'm actually going to kind of put my thing out there that I could think that he has the potential to be the highest kind of raw DK point scorer on a night where obviously Luka is probably the other option over there. But for someone who's about kind of 3,500 cheaper than what he is on there, it's going to be kind of worth that that investment over there at his price tag.
And pretty good routes to go. If I'm playing cash games, I'm gonna spend up on Kevin. I really do feel like zero assists out of him, especially in playoffs, is kind of awkward. Typically his rebounds and assists goes up once playoff mode is activated for him. I We might not get 30 points out of him. I don't feel like he will need to score as much. He should be able to have a little bit of help. But he should be able to get you, you know, 45, 50 DK points. Probably about 22 actual points. Going for my mid-tier pick, I'm actually going to run with Naz Reid. I really do feel like a lot of people will be off him since, you know, it's at a guaranteed 20 minutes that he will play. But when he plays and his offense is going, and let's just say, you know, Cat offense ain't going as it was in this game, he should be able to be pretty productive and possibly get you a few more rebounds than he did in the last game. But if he's able to get you 25 minutes, I'm looking at about 25 actual DK points for 4-8. So that's something you can play in both cash and GPP. And to go with my little GPP only play, I do feel like people might be on him. I don't know. But Jay Crowder, he played about 15 minutes in the last game, knocked down a 302, if I remember right. And I think he had a couple of rebounds, but I do feel like he might get 20 minutes from Doc in this upcoming game. He really fit what they was trying to do, and he actually fills in pretty well for minutes that Bobby Portis was out. So I'm actually going to run a little bit of Crowder in my GPPs for 3-5.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I like it. I think that's an interesting way to go. I think Crowder in general is one of those guys who start to kind of get into the groove of the playoffs and then up his minutes as time goes on, because he's just such a pest on the defensive end, and he's just that guy who can stay out there all the way to the end. So definitely someone to consider over there. From a center's perspective, for the last couple of options over here, I think, well, first of all, I'm going to start actually from the Chiefs side over here, because I do think Maxi Kleba is going to be someone that I find myself having a good amount of exposure to. We saw the adjustment be very clearly made pretty early on with Dallas kind of seeing that it's really not working with Daniel Gafford in that matchup against Zubats over there. So we're going to try to kind of switch it up, have a guy who can be a little bit more extended out. And despite the fact that he didn't have a good shooting night in general, only really shot 5 times over there, I think that's going to be something that is going to be one of those bigger adjustments made throughout the series here. Kleba is going to find himself more involved, similar to that scenario with PJ Washington that I mentioned. Dallas is going to try and be a little bit more kind of perimeter oriented and try and get a little bit, you know, force the Clippers to play a little bit more small ball than they might otherwise want to. Otherwise, clearly in the paint, they're just absolutely dominating where it stands now. So Kleba playing 27 minutes last game, I expect that that's actually going to rise to somewhere between 32 to 33 minutes in this game that's coming up, which again, for 3,600, not necessarily the sexiest upside play over there, but we have seen that he can have those games where he can get into the 30s because he does have that ability to kind of contribute across the board with the stocks. He can hit a couple of threes that's going there, and then usually he can chip in with a few rebounds to go with that as well. So I do like him a lot as my value play, and probably the one that'll have the most exposure to in that kind of price range over there. But, you know, everything has kind of come around to this. I unless they really force this, Zubac is going to continue to dominate. And as much as, you know, I think a lot of people are going to be on him, given what we had seen in that first game over there, I don't think it's necessarily one that you have to kind of scare yourself off of until it's kind of proven that, hey, it is going to be something that the Mavericks are going to be able to fully adjust to. So at least for one more game, Zubac should probably dominate for that full price that he's going on now. So 5,900 for a guy who dropped 45 DK points in the last game over there, I don't think you can go wrong with that entire way of kind of going about it. So, you know, from a center pick, I think he's probably going to be the more popular kind of mid-tier pick in comparison to someone like a Rudy Gobert, who to me at 7,100, absolute like lock as far as cash game is concerned. He's a walking double-double. He still ended up with 38 DK points in the last game as well. But especially given the fact that Karl Anthony Towns is still kind of working his way back, we're likely going to see him continue to be a little bit more involved on the offensive side here. So kind of closer to near the end of the season where we saw him get to 20 points a couple of times in regularity, especially in the high teens, I think we might be seeing a little bit more of that. So that's going to unlock that upside for him to be able to get into the 40s as far as his DK points are concerned. So for someone sitting in that low 7,000 range over there, I think Gobert is going to be the center you want to focus on, given the price and the upside and the current and a minute scenario as far as Cat's concerned.
Yeah, definitely like the Gobert pick. Definitely what I would run in cash game. But I'm going to switch it up a little bit. For 6'3", you know, we got somebody on the opposite side, a little bit cheaper. And they didn't really rebound last game. If I remember right, was it four rebounds last game, Nurkic. I really do feel like if they are to, you know, come back in this series tied up 1-1, some offensive rebounding will need to happen. It is hard to do when Gobert is on the floor. But if he's, you know, chasing around Devin Booker trying to switch on guards, I do feel like he might pick up some early personal fouls. So you might not see 38 minutes of Rudy in this matchup tomorrow. So for 6'3 of my GPPs, I'm definitely going to be running Nurkic as my center. I'm going for my mid-tier pick, not that much cheaper, but at 5'4", you got Brook Lopez. He didn't have the best performance. I don't think he was able to connect on a three-pointer in the matchup against Indiana. But he's going to play minutes. He's going to get you some blocks. And rebounding, not really his thing. So if you're looking for the, you know, double-double bonus, that's not really going to happen with Brook Lopez. What you're really hoping for is for him to get 20 actual points somehow. Connect on maybe three or four three-pointers and get you about 3 to 4 blocks. And then you're looking at a nice little 5-4 for about 35, 40 DK points with everything else he would be able to do on the floor. Then going with the cheapy play, I don't think anybody will be on this play. And this is one of these like, hey, there might be 0 minutes if you play this type of play. But the Mavericks need to do something drastically different. And they need to, you know, fill something that gave them success in the past. And for some odd reason, in playoff games and season games, they used to start a whole lot of Dwight Powell. Now, I'm not saying he's going to, you know, give you 20 actual points to make a huge impact. But if he's on the floor for 18 to 20 minutes, you know, can't catch a couple lives, can't get you a couple rebounds. So you might be able to get yourself, I don't know, 16 to 22 DK points if the upside of like 20, 24 minutes come out of that, just because they're like, you know, maybe this will help out with this Zubac problem.
Well, Zubac's problem is absolutely right, and we're going to have to see what the Clippers are able to bring in store for us after what was a pretty crazy night as far as playoffs are concerned today. But that does bring us to the end of, as I said, a three-game slate. You're going to see that a lot as far as these playoffs are going to go. You know, smaller slates there with a lot of potential options. And that, again, is why you need to be subscribed to that Sports Ethos DFS Pass, where you can keep yourself in the know, live injury report, all the important things as far as DFS projections are concerned, and also that Discord, which is just that man-to-man ability to be able to communicate with DFS pros who've been doing this for years on end, is going to be giving you all the edge you need. So make sure to get on that. And if you want to talk more about your lineups with me, as always, you can reach me on Instagram, on Twitter, at HAK_Devil, where you know I'm going to be all on these playoffs all the way through. Even if the Raptors aren't there, that's not going to stop me from watching every minute of every game that's happening here. So that is absolutely going to be somewhere I'd love to engage. So talk to me about how you're approaching the slate, who's your pillar play that you're kind of building your lineup around, and who of these cheap value picks are going to be guys that you are focusing on most. Kenny, where can the good people find you to know all about basketball?
Yeah, man, you can find me on Twitter at OrangeDFS. You know, I'm going to be always talking Clippers basketball when needed. Plus, if you want to talk about this Panathinaikos Maccabi matchup tomorrow or that Madrid Baskonia matchup, you know, I'm more than happy to talk about that. Really think we might get an upset with this Baskonia winning as a play-in team against Real Madrid. But outside of that, yeah, if you ever want to talk ball, find me at OrangeDFS.
All right, awesome. Well, you heard it here. You heard it from Kenny. You heard it from myself. It's going to be me running solo for the next couple of days, so you're going to get to hear a little bit out of me as well. But keep following us on Sports Ethos, and we will touch base on the next two slates. Until then, let's take down some of these GPPs.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.